Hello and welcome to Sem Torah for Parshat Pinchas. This week's Parsha begins where last week's Parsha ended. At the end of last week's Parsha, we read about Pinchas's zealousness in stopping the plague which came as a result of the illicit behavior with the daughters of Midian when Pinchas kills Zimri, the Nasi of Shimon, and Cozbi from Midian, the Midianite princess. From our perspective, it seems clear that Pinchas did, of course, the right thing. However, Rashi, quoting the Gemara, tells us that a significant controversy emerged among Bnei Israel regarding whether Pinchas acted appropriately or whether his actions amounted to literally assassination and treason. Rashi tells us, Hayu hashvatim vazinoto, hareitem ben puti ze shepitem avi imo agalim. Everybody ridiculed Pinchas and said, have you seen this descendant of Yitro who served Avodah Zarah, and yet here's this Pinchas who kills a leader? Says Rashi, says the Gemara, that's why the Torah says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. He's still Aharon's descendant. He did the right thing. And in fact, this week's Parsha begins with Hashem, so to speak, testifying to the appropriateness of what Pinchas did. And we see this testimony, so to speak, we see this confirmation and affirmation of what Pinchas did very clearly in three ways. First of all, Pinchas's actions stopped the plague. That we know. Number two, the Torah constantly links Pinchas to the grand lineage of Aharon HaKohen. And third, as Rashi just said, and thirdly, Hashem grants Pinchas Briti Shalom and the Brit Kehunat Olam in response to Pinchas's actions. So we see that clearly Pinchas did the right thing. However, I'd like to ask a number of questions regarding this episode. First of all, question number one, the Torah describes Pinchas's actions as kina. In English, we often translate it as zealousness, but kina means jealousy. And Chazal in many places regard kina, jealousy, in a very negative light. For example, the Mishnah in Perkei Avot and Perek Dalet tells us, Rabbi Elazar Kapar Omer, Hakina ve'atava ve'akavod motzi'in et ha'adam min ha'olam. Kina, tava, and kavod take a person out of the world. So if so, why does the Torah view Pinchas' kana'ut as positive? It's very negative, it's terrible. Question number two, related to question number one, is that the Gemara does sometimes, and in some contexts, see kina in a very positive light, such as take a look at the Gemara in Baba Batra Daf Chafala Famar Aleph, kinat sofrim tarbe chachma, that jealousy, so to speak, among Talmidei Chachamim increases chachma. It's again Baba Batra Chaf Aleph. So we can really ask a more general question: is kina positive? Or is it negative? Perhaps we can ask a more general question, what is kina at all? Question number three, the Gemara in Talmud Bavli, Sanhedrin, Pei Bet Amar Aleph, and the Yerushalmi also in Sanhedrin, refer to Pinchas' actions, again, as kina, and the Gemara says as follows, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar. That's what the Torah tells us. The Gemara says, Ma ra'a Vayar Pinchas. What does he see? Amar Rav. Ra'a ma'aseh, he saw what happened with Zimri and Cozbi, v'nizkar halacha. So amar lo achi abba, lo kach li marateni, beriditcha mehar Sinai. So Pinchas says, Moshe, didn't you teach me when you came down from Har Sinai, haboel atakutit kanain poginbo? Didn't you teach us that someone who cohabits with the Kutit, or in this case an Aramit, kanain pogimbo, people who have kana'ut, strike them. That's what the Gemara says. But our question can be, why should only kanain pogimbo? If the halacha dictates that these people should be put to death, then why can't anyone do it? Why just the kanaim? Question number four. Again, Pinchas's actions are classified in that same Gemara a little bit earlier, is a very strange way. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, again, it's Sanhedrin, Pei Bet Amar Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Haba Linloch, Ein Morinlo. Again, the Gemara says that if someone cohabits with an Aramean, then Kanaim Pogim Bo. And Rabbi Yochanan says, but if someone asks a question prior to and regarding the proper response to what we should do with that person, we don't teach him that Kanaim Pogim Bo, and we let it go. No response is allowed. So this seems quite strange. The perpetrator should, according to the halacha, be killed. However, if a person wants to kill them and does the halacha and goes to his rabbi or her rabbi and says, what should I do? Should I kill this person? We say, no, you don't. So if the halacha is that the perpetrator is to be killed, why shouldn't we say, yes, go kill them? And only a person who doesn't ask goes and kills. And our fifth question regards specifically to Pinchas's action, to the reward for Pinchas's actions. If you go to the beginning of the parsha, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Kohen, Heshiv et chamati me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kano et kinati b'tocham, v'lo chiliti et b'nei Yisrael b'kinati, lachein emor hineni notein lo et briti shalom. Says Hashem, since what you did was appropriate, I'm giving you my brit shalom. What exactly is Hashem's covenant of peace? And why is that appropriate for Pinchas's actions? So again, we have five questions. Really, question number one is, kina seems to be a terrible, cancerous midah. Why is it described positively when it comes to Pinchas? Question number two is that there are times when kina is positive. For example, kinat sofrim, Gemara Bava Batra. So is kina good or is it bad? What does kina mean? Question number three, why do we say kanaim poginbo, that only a kanai kills haboel aramit? Why doesn't anybody kill them? Question number four, a kanai kills them, but if he goes and asks you, should I kill him? We say no. Why? That's a very strange halacha. And question number five is, why would Pinchas get the reward of shalom? What does that mean? So in answering all these questions, we have to have perhaps a brief overview of our approach to midot in general. The term midah is literally translated as, quote, a measurement. A measurement. Like most things in life that are measured, the right amount is by definition not too much and not too little. For example, a recipe for cake may call for a cup of sugar. Too much sugar or too little sugar ruins the cake. Only the right amount of sugar makes the cake perfect. Sugar, in and of itself, is neither good nor bad for the cake, neither helpful nor detrimental. The question is how to use it and when to use it. Midot in the Torah is exactly that. Mercy, for example, rachmanut, is not in itself a good or bad trait. Mercy and all other midot, if they're used appropriately, is a most beautiful trait. If it's used too little or too much, deleterious effects ensue. So, for example, if you take a look at Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tetvav, regarding Shaul's response to Agag, Melech Amalek, he has mercy on Agag, Melech Amalek. Here we have mercy used inappropriately. Mercy is good? No, it can be bad in that case, for example. The same is true for all midot, for all character traits in the Torah. The question is not whether a trait, whether a midah is good or bad. Rather, the question is how much and in what circumstances should those midot be used. What about the midah of kina? What exactly does it mean, and when or how should it be employed? And perhaps one can suggest the following idea. Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch on Parshat Toldot, on the pasuk regarding how the Plishtim felt after Yitzchak became famous, became wealthy. The Torah tells us in Breishit Chavav Yudalid, Vayekanu Oto Plishtim. Plishtim became very jealous, and says Rav Hirsch that defines kina, jealousy, and he connects it to the word kone with a hey, or kana kuf nun hey, which means to possess something or to acquire something. Kana, says Rav Hirsch, means to acquire something and to possess it as one's property. Whereas kina, or kane with an aleph, means to demand something as belonging to oneself. And perhaps one can suggest that the definition of kina is a singular focus and a concentration on something that is or something that you want to be yours and only yours. The word kina is similar linguistically to the word kane, which refers to a reed, unbending, straight, something that you can see. We call it in English tunnel vision, where I only look at one thing. When someone is jealous of someone else's possessions, as we asked in the first question, Hakina ve'atave ve'akavod, and Hakina motzina ta'adam mina olam, when someone is jealous of someone else's possession, they are singularly focused, kina, they are singularly focused on what the other person has and what they themselves do not have. No amount of explanation of what they do have will take away their longing and their craving for what they cannot have. Their focus, their single-mindedness about what they lack, does not allow them any pleasure in the gift that they actually do have. Their only desire, even to their own detriment, is to acquire what the other person has. This form of kina is absolutely terrible and absolutely removes a person from the world as we saw. This definition regarding being jealous also for spiritual things, what we said in question number 2, kina sofrim tar bechachma. When someone's singular focus is growing spiritually, all I think about is how I can get better spiritually, ruchaniyut, dveikut b'shem, and chachma and Torah, that form of jealousy is actually positive. As the Gemara quoted, we said earlier, that kinat sofrim tar b'chachma, because their tremendous singular focus on acquiring Torah knowledge in the right way, in the right amount, will only lead to more wisdom. Continuing on, when a response to an avera such as haboel aramit or a boel kutit is for only for kanaim poging bo, there is no room for questions, no opportunity for deliberation. That's what we said, kanaim poging bo, only those people. In fact, a sure sign that someone is who is not zealous, a sure sign that someone is not singularly focused on the task at hand, a sure sign that a person may be focused on other factors, such as social pressures, a sure sign for all these things is her or his need for deliberations, for discussions, for debate. If one has doubts about the appropriate way to respond, they are probably not singularly focused on the task at hand. They may, in fact, be focused on other things, peer pressure, political motivations, financial motivations. That is why, as we said earlier, if one has to ask a question about a response that requires kanaut, we tell them, sorry, not you. Habalim loch ein morin kein. That sort of person is clearly not zealous in the proper way and should not act. You're already asking, it's too late. Obviously, you're thinking of other things. If you, without thought, so to speak, that's what a kina in this case is, singular focused. Now, this kind of response is obviously very dangerous. Only a person completely free of external influence, completely free of internal imperfections, can be trusted with such a powerful weapon, so to speak, with a powerful tool. People who are easily swayed by the masses or by their Yetzer Hara should not and cannot take matters into their own hands. Most people in our parsha, even Moshe and Aaron, do not act like zealots. And they and do not get praised for it. They don't do it. Pinchas did. And he was rewarded. Hineni notein lo et briti shalom. Hashem, knowing full well how difficult it is to be on that level, gives a bracha to Pinchas of shalom, shlemut, inner and outer perfection. Inner and outer completeness. This perfection, shalom, shlemut, is, according to the Gemara Masechet Shabbat Daf Yud, one of Hashem's names. Because only Hashem is the one true perfected being in the universe. In short, Pinchas, acting with a singular focus for the name and in the honor of Hashem, stemming from his inner perfection, gets the blessing of continued perfection, continued wholeness, continued completeness, so that he could and should continue to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rest of his life. May we all be zocha and blessed to work on and strive for our own perfection, our singularly focus, not on material gains, chas v'shalom, which is the negative form of kina, but on the positive form, the singular focus of spiritual attainment, and bezat Hashem, new heights. Have a Shabbat Shalom.